time to go viral. I'm homicidal, I'm killing all my rivals. I'm the man, should I put that on the Bible? I Spotify my target, cause you know I got the title. Hey, I'm a Mac too. I told baby shake that ass like she Apple. She said it's real, so she got my name tattooed. House full, so I hit it in the back room. Baby said she need it now, peep the urgency. I want a little Kim before she had the surgery. Leg spread on that hardcore poster. She love twerking, she just do it for the coach. Big dog, bull master. Six tray Chevrolet, I'm classic. All these niggas mad at me, that's tragic. Your main bitch in the bed, that's graphic. Yeah, we about to go viral. Hey. We about to go
viral. Robots, really. Yeah, basically. Like, bitch, they can just shut you down when they want to.
Oh, no.
Crazy, yeah.
What dropped?
I told y'all niggas probably never slapped Dirk shit.
I didn't. I'm not gonna lie. Sure. I never did.
You had Dirk, and I was listening to hella '90s music today. I'm like, damn, I forgot about so many slaps.
What's the deal? What's the deal? What's the deal, my good people? It's been a minute, boys. Been a minute. Feel like we ain't been in the studio in a year, and it only been a couple of days. Life been life, and we've been having a little business going on, but we back at y'all with another one. Welcome to another episode of the Viral Way Podcast. Shout out all the Viral Way members. Shout out all the Viral Gang members. Shout out all the subscribers. If you're not an official Viral Way member, hit the subscribe button. Tell a friend to tell a friend. As always, it's your host that do the most, Mr. Viral himself, a.k.a. the villain, because they hate me for my opinion.
Yes, indeed.
And we got the squad in the building.
Live and direct. Messiah the Great. We're here to lead the way. And shout out to all the new Viral Way members, man. Y'all subscribe. We appreciate it. Keep tapping in. We're going to keep giving y'all this good shit.
Facts. Kali the one, man. Tap in. The Viral Way or no way.
And in case you didn't know, I'm going to go ahead and let y'all know now. If you come out to the West and you looking to have a real, thoughtful, insightful, substance-packed conversation, it's only one platform out here on the West that you could come to for that. And you looking at it, the Viral Way. But what's up with y'all, man?
Man, we back in the building, back like we never left.
Back like we never left. What's going on, man? We just was over there at Back on Fig. How you felt about that episode? What y'all felt about it, man?
Shout out to Back on Fig, man. Shout out to Back on Fig. It was cool. The energy was good. I feel like overall, you know what I mean? That was good. It was good to me. So I ain't got nothing bad to say about it. Even though I didn't like the concept of how it led up, but it came together like it was supposed to and made sense to me. So shout out to Smack. Shout out to T-Rail.
Definitely shout out to Smack. Shout out to T-Rail. It was a little different for me. It was different than what we used to, but I like being in different elements and having to adapt. I kind of don't like when we go to other places and they trying to mold it exactly to how we do things here. It's like, nah, if I'm in your house, you know, let's play by your house rules. So I can see how I can adapt and how I can, you know.
I don't feel like they molded it like that, though.
I think
No, not them. I'm saying in general. I'm saying from past experiences when we go somewhere else, people feel like they have to, oh, damn, these are serious guys. Let's switch the whole content up. And then their audience is upset like, oh, this shit trash. We ain't come for this. And it's like, you built the following around what y'all do. So when people come, they're looking to see people do what y'all do. And that's what I prefer.
It's easy to, you know, you the best at doing you, so I can understand that. Like, if you come on somebody else's platform, do you, because that's what you're going to be best at, and that's what's going to make the show flow the best. And we're adaptable up here where we can, you know, hop in and out of different lanes and speak on different things for the moment. So I think that worked out. It was good seeing y'all up there, you know, and just after all the, I guess you could say, drama surrounding it, it seems like it was still good energy, and now that's water under the bridge. So it was cool seeing two platforms of black men come together, you know, after what that was and just, you know, talking about it.
And like you just said, and that was a great point, we are very well-rounded. We just look like this, you feel me? So y'all get the picture later if you ain't caught on already.
Yeah, you know, I'm a comment reader. I'm an avid comment reader, like I always say. And I noticed one thing that is kind of shaky with the culture that I've spoken about in the past. It's number one, we don't like change or we don't like anything new. So if it's not familiar, we automatically want to put it down, even without doing the research. I've seen a lot of those comments. Oh, who is this? I didn't know this person. Where they come from? And I'm like, bro, everybody came from nowhere. Everybody. Jay-Z came from nowhere. Nas came from nowhere. 50 came from nowhere. Snoop came from nowhere. They came from nowhere, and then they became familiar faces. They became familiar as a celebrity to you. So that's to anybody who pops up out of nowhere. Just because you're not familiar with them doesn't necessarily mean you automatically just put whatever they're doing to the side. Like, actually do your research.
Everybody got to start from somewhere. You know what I mean? And exactly. We got to get to a point where we respect the output of what people are doing, the message they're putting out over the numbers, right? Like, just because you have 200,000 subscribers, a million subscribers, doesn't mean that you're any more worthy or any more knowledgeable or high powered than somebody with 20,000 subscribers. Like, at the end of the day, it's all what's being output that matters.
Just know we coming, man. We coming. We kicking down doors, and that's what we coming from. Well, I notice a lot of people where they go wrong is it's like if you barely just start something. You know what I'm saying? You're not gonna be in a space where everybody else is at, or these people that's been doing it. They compare our chapter threes to their chapter 21s. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's the biggest problem. Like, just know the book is still going and the pages are still turning.
Like, you got to think about it, bro. It took Mr. Beast 137 videos to reach 1,000 subscribers just to get monetized. It took him 100 more to get the next 1,000 subscribers. We got 1,000 subscribers 2 years ago within the first, 25 videos? So just comparing the trajectory, we've overlapped. And Mr. Beast, started, he's the biggest in the game. So imagine if Mr. Beast would have took the criticism of, well, who is this? Well, he ain't got no motion. He ain't got no followers and just quit. He would have never became Mr. Beast. How many hundreds of millions of subscribers does he have now? But it took him 137 videos. I think we on episode like 140 something.
And that's not counting all the like just things people we clip up. I also think too with the Mr. Beast thing, it's like, I forgot my point.
See, but even
Get that ring rust out.
But even then, when it comes to stuff, like we always say, comparison is the killer of all joy. Like, everything don't got to be compared. You can go enjoy their content here. You can go enjoy this content here. If our shit ain't for you, then don't watch it. And even on top of that, it's like, I'm catching Kali.
That's what I was
y'all got ring rust.
That's what I was going to say. We already beat the odds. Like, most people who started YouTube stop it within the first 20 episodes.
First 10.
So we already beat the odds in that way. So if you're looking at it from that point of view, I feel like there is no reason to not keep going. And when you do look at it that way, it's like, how could you hate on it? How could you say it's small when there's millions of people doing the same thing and we so happen to be in front of people's faces?
And even on top of that, we resilient. So none of that stuff is going to really affect us and the mission that we got. People ain't see it. Just know big things is coming. And I don't even care where it's coming from. Just know it's coming. But even on top of that, it's like everybody's journey is different when it comes to content. And people like to take formulas or people like to think that you have to go based off the next podcast or what they're doing. Like I say all the time, there is no you. So what worked for you might not work for me, and what worked for me might not work for you. So it might be it could be a longer route, it could be a quicker route. We could be where we at now and explode tomorrow. So you never know.
And I'll say this: everything ain't for everybody. Everything is not for everybody. What happens with our culture is you come from a certain environment, a certain background, a certain demographic, and you have a certain look, and then you get boxed in with everybody else who matches that description. So because we may look young, we may look hip, we from the streets, automatically you get painted in with, oh, go do what they're doing. Go do what the No Jumpers and the communities and the Back on Figs, and because the fans see you as that. and they won't accept nothing else from you. So as viewers, people got to start opening up their minds to understand not everybody got in this to do the same thing. Some people got in it to just simply entertain. Some people got in it to get famous. Some people got in it to get a bag. And some people got in it to actually change the landscape of the culture. Some people got in it to teach. Some people get in it to drop messages to the people, reach the youth. Everybody got their own lane. So you don't have to try and force people to merge lanes to enjoy the content. Like they, like bro just said, find what's for you and enjoy that. Nobody's going to tell Candace Owens, hey, you too serious. Start telling more jokes. Nobody goes to Reza Islam and say, hey, you dropping too much knowledge. Start talking about the Ricos and more drama. You need to start running plays. Nobody does that. Nobody goes to Joe Rogan to tell Joe Rogan, hey, run plays. We need to fake drama and build it. Like, no, everybody got their own lane. They build their own following. And that's good enough. Comparison is the killer of all joy. Like they said, enjoy the show. Find the show that's for you and enjoy it.
That's facts.
Simple as that. And before we even get into the topics, let me say shout out Mike Vick and his brother. Definitely got to shout out Michael Vick and his younger brother, Marcus Vick, who are now working together in the coaching world. Mike Vick as the head coach at Norfolk State University and Marcus Vick being present at events related to the team. So I don't know Marcus Vick's exact role, but basically they both came up playing football. They both were supposed to be NFL bound. Vic actually made it to the league. You know, he caught the pit bull dog fighting case, went to the pen. That pretty much shattered his career. Yeah. He did the commentator thing, and now going back to his hometown and bringing it all the way full circle with his younger brother, they're now coaching. So that's, to me, that's big. This is a redemption story. It's a bounce back story. Mike Vick is resilient because he could have let going to prison end him. He could have just been done with everything, but he kept chipping, he kept fighting back, and it came full circle for him. What y'all think about
it? Yeah, nah, shout out Vic. You know, man, even as a kid, I had Vic on the team, so, and he came back to be an Eagle. We gave him that opportunity, so shout out to Philly for that, too, because a lot of people wouldn't have bet on Vic, and he came, showed us some love in Philly, so he's still an Eagle to me, even though we know he's a Falcon. But at the end of the day, shout out to Vic. I like what he's doing. And like you just said, he's persistent. He's consistent in what he's choosing to do. And he's definitely going to make an impact being who he was in the game, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's going to have a lot of firsthand knowledge on you know, the pitfalls of having money, fame, success, and how to make the right moves and you know what I mean, steer yourself away from doing certain things because he made certain mistakes. So I think he's one a great fit to be a coach to young men. I mean, and you know, shout out to Mike Vick. He had everybody wanting to be left-handed too. That's crazy.
He was like one of the first left-handers. That was crazy.
That nigga had a cannon.
It was crazy.
He had the coldest football commercials.
Oh my God, I remember that first commercial when he threw it out the stadium. That was crazy.
Then he threw the bullet and the nigga flew like 6 feet.
And that was before AI. I remember everybody thought it was fake. Like, man, he can't do that. Then he started doing it at the games live. Like, bro got a cannon. They had to tell him to stop throwing so hard. He breaking fingers and dislocating shoulders. They like, bro, take a little steam off.
I believe Vic definitely would have got a ring if none of that stuff would have happened. Because he already took the Falcons down there all the way. So, man, shout out to Vic, though.
And you know that? I feel like even with that whole thing, people looked at it as a negative, which you could look at it however you want to. I think that was just a bad investment, you know? I don't think it has any – it's no judge on his character or nothing like that. I just feel like he thought – that was something that, you know, at that point in time could have made more money and more profit.
What you mean, the dog fighting thing?
Yeah, it
wasn't necessarily him doing it. It's like, if I have a house and I let all my homies sit at the house and I allow y'all to do certain things, yeah, I might could be guilty by association, but I might not even be here. I might be at training camp. I might be doing other things. I'm not worrying about no dog fighting. And then for people to crucify him, for him to go to jail for that was crazy work to me. When people can go out here and hunt animals.
Right, hunt exotic animals.
Go out here and hunt animals and smoke them and kill them.
Skin them.
Take pictures with them. Yeah. Put a lion's head on your wall.
You can fish. You can hunt. You can go to the woods and get licensed to do certain things.
Take an elephant tusk and, man, they doing all types of stuff to these animals.
NFL star one mistake and send him to prison. People don't go to prison for less than that.
His cousin was bogus for not taking him charges, too, because like you said, I let you use my spot. I'm pretty sure he had knowledge of what his cousin is doing.
He kept it solid.
And I'm pretty sure he funded it. Like, look, cuz, this is what you want to do. Cool. I'm your cousin. All love. Bam, here you go. I ain't got nothing to do with it, but this is you. So whatever happened, that's supposed to be on you. And his cousin did some bitch shit. Like, bro, why would you not take a deal and take the charge when this is the bag? This is Michael Vick.
He feeding everybody.
You being free is worth less than him being in jail.
Probably worth nothing.
You're worth nothing. Like, that's crazy. This is Vic. You straight forever. Even if so I didn't even understand that one. That was crazy work.
Even if Vic, if I was just around in that area, I would have just took it off of GP. It wouldn't even have to been me.
Just tell him it was me.
Yeah,
if I was even in the ring.
Go ahead. Yeah.
And but he probably would have had you when you was in there. He definitely held you down.
Man, come on, man. He was the cover of Madden. Yeah. He was the greatest Madden player ever. That Vic, when he made the cover of that Madden, unstoppable. All you had to do was run 99 yards backwards, and that's touchdown. Touchdown. Can't nobody on the defense catch him. Like, okay, that was the glitch.
How many spies you put on him? Nothing. It didn't matter. Like, nigga, I used to have niggas hot.
Niggas like, cut, you can't get Vic. That's
now you
got to
start playing Vic versus Vic. That's how bad.
Nigga had the Mike Vic Bowls. Oh, God. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, definitely shout out to Vic. I low-key forgot what happened with Marcus Vick because he was supposed to be next up. Didn't he catch a case at Virginia Tech?
I don't know. He started doing because
he went to V-Tech, too. I think he caught a case.
I think either that or his...
Oh, he had the weed.
Yeah.
He got caught with, like, a bunch of weed, which is crazy because now weed is legal. You can go to any corner and get weed. It's haven on every corner. You go to a nice neighborhood, it's a haven or a weed shop on every corner. And dude's NFL career was ended before it can even start due to a plant. Crazy.
Right.
So this is why I'm saying this is a full circle story, because they both faced adversity. They both had their careers cut short. But just imagine that you're a kid on this team and Michael Vick is coaching me. Mike Vick, nigga.
Yeah, that's like,
That's you don't get no more motivating than that. This is Mike Vick, bro.
And I wish Vick the best. I hope they succeed to great heights the same way he did in the NFL, because, you know, it's gonna be a lot of naysayers to hate on Vic. So they love to hate on him. But even the character, who he is as a man, from the interviews and things I've seen of Vic, he a stand-up dude and he's solid all the way around. He take care of his people. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to Vic and congratulations for him on that opportunity. That's big for him.
Hey, this wasn't even on the topic list, but I felt I had to talk about this, especially being from California and having a brief run-in with this Steven Company, California Edison. So come to find out, they're responsible for the fires that recently happened, the Eden fires, the Palisades, and all of that, due to faulty equipment that they own. So there's a bunch of lawsuits going on. So if you call Cal Edison now, first thing they ask you, hey, were you affected by the Eden fires? Did you have to house anybody who was affected? Because they're trying to just see how many people is finna hit them with them lawsuits. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because if you notice, your energy bill is probably sky high right now. I think it went up over like 137%. Even though people are reportedly using less energy than they did a year ago, their bill is 2 or 3 times more.
Niggas ain't even home.
Niggas not even home. And you're $900 a month. Nigga got a car note in it.
Every light off, nigga. Unplugging shit.
Niggas taking cold showers, ice baths and shit.
It's crazy.
Like, how is my bill higher? So they're taxing us to cover that $1.6 like billion in legal fees that they're about to have to dish out. So as people ain't really paying attention to this, but we might got to get, what's that, Channel 7 and Me or whatever, and have them do some type of investigation, because they're taxing us to pay for their mistake. They're taxing us.
A lot of times with these situations is when people don't come up with solutions, we know people are not individual thinkers for the most part. So if there is no solution at hand that makes sense to the masses, majority of people, or certain people that has to have a certain influence to make a movement about it, people are just going to accept it. It's a lot of things going up. Rent going up every day. Taxes is going up. It's like, and they don't care about nothing about people dealing with it. But the only thing ain't going up is the workforce areas.
Most people, too, will look at the bill and be like, they'll put a little bullshit line item on there, energy something. This is why your bill was more. And you'll want to call. Most people don't even got the time.
Don't question it,
They'll be like,
yeah,
all right, I'm going to call later and then go about their day and then, a month later get hit with the same charge.
But even then, it's a lot of people that have their bills on auto pay.
That too.
So you're not even paying attention when things change. That's what same thing I was saying with the insurance and all that other stuff. It's like you're on auto pay, so you're just like, man, they just taking it out of my account. And you probably don't check your account until 3 months later. Like, hold on.
It's so crazy because we just got our bill for this. And I'm in the house trying to think, like, I'm thinking about voltage and shit. Like, how much voltage is coming out of this shit right here? Because it ain't no way
I'm
shit.
Using this much power.
Hey, nigga, I'm plugging everything in the house. Everything but the refrigerator. I'm plugged this shit.
That microwave, nigga, I'm plugging everything.
Yeah, we be leaving that. Exactly. I'm like, hold on, man.
Hey, turn that AC off. Go buy some fans. Hey, because nobody really noticed in January, they had a vote. California regulators voted to approve Southern Cal Edison's request to charge customers for $1.6 billion in damages from wildfires and mudslides. So how you responsible and then slip through the cracks through the back door to your buddies to have a vote to charge the masses for what you did?
And what's even more crazy that people's lives was really affected by these fires, and they had the audacity to offer them about $700 to not even $1,000 to get you a room and some food. Don't let you be a big family with kids, you know what I'm saying? Or no family where you got somewhere to go. Like, people really going through it. And it's like, to the fact that they're taxing for that and y'all were the cause of the problem, this is the same things we be talking about. Like, they create problems, and then you're victim of the problem, and they don't care about nothing about you.
And now you
got to
pay for the problem.
Exactly.
Like, what the fuck?
Bro, I looked this up online. You can go on Reddit, Google. It's a lot of people dealing with the same thing. Like bro was saying with the auto pay, people had auto pay. They claimed their system was down, kicked people off of auto pay. And a lot of people don't check their account every month. They might routinely check it every quarter or something. Everybody don't just check their account every single day, especially if you got money, like you straight. Mm-hmm. You just assuming that it's good. Bro, they're telling people they owe 5 years worth of bills, back pay. Yeah, you owe $5,000. Like, how is that even legal? Your website says 45 days, power cut. You can only charge a customer up to 90 days.
That should be a lawsuit in itself.
They're telling people you owe five bands. Like, what?
And they be worrying about the scammers, but these businesses be the real scammers.
They're the biggest scammers.
They the real finessers.
They the biggest scammers.
They going to finesse you, and then some people going to sit back and just go back and pay it. Or they're not going to question it like you were just saying. It's like, that's wild to say you owe somebody $5,000 or $6,000. Who lets something back up? Y'all going to shut this power down immediately.
Immediately.
After that 45th day, y'all going to probably gave an alert the 30th day. 45th day come, it's over with.
And what's crazy, they said they had a system update after COVID in 2021. And your pay code on your account, they updated that. So they're telling people a lot of the payments probably went to the old pay code, but then they're not going to go find it. You got to try to figure it out. And it's just a mess, bro. I really went down the rabbit hole. I'm looking on Twitter. People showing their bills. Man, they talking about I owe $5,000. I got my bill for this month, $1,400. We ain't even been home.
Nigga on vacation. Talking about the bills skyrocketing.
So they're literally gouging customers to pay for fires that they started. So imagine that. Imagine you start a fire and then you charge other people to pay for your damages. Your business started the fire though, but we gonna charge taxpaying citizens. And this is what I mean by the sheep. We just sit back, nobody pays attention, everybody complains, but there's no action plan. This type of stuff needs an action plan. And what's sad about it is, there's not even a competitor you can go to.
Nobody.
To get power. So if Edison's fucking everybody over, where can you go to get your power offset? And this is another reason why it's dangerous to try to do this all electric shit. Oh, get the all electric house. Get the smart car. Everybody get on a grid. When all they got to do is do this. And that grid is down. It's over with. They hit a button. Your grid is cooked.
Literally.
And it's that's cooked. Crazy what you just said. That's a big red flag that we only have one place to go to for power. One place. They done monopolized this shit. Crazy.
That's by design. You ain't going through nobody but us. Nigga, right. We controlling it. And just imagine they keep talking about in the future when it's power outages and all this stuff that's going to happen. Nobody's going to have survival skills about it. You don't realize a lot of things what you need until it's gone. And once that power and stuff go out, just think about it. Your phones is down. Y'all ain't got no more GPS. Niggas is not. Unless you remember these freeways.
Niggas don't
and
know
streets.
How to, yeah,
yeah,
at this
exactly.
Point.
You know, and that means everything. All the food in your fridge is done. You're not keeping canned food in your house. You're cooked. Out of that, or you just going to be running the streets, using all your bread up on hotel rooms and everything else to survive.
Niggas will lose their mind just from no Wi-Fi.
Right, no Wi-Fi. Bro, no
kids
Wi-Fi.
Kids were pulling guns and knives on their parents for cutting the Wi-Fi.
No Wi-Fi.
Chase the mom around the house with a butcher knife. Man, cut the Wi-Fi on.
They didn't book them. I didn't see one story. The dude killed the mom and the brother.
Yeah. You so two star buffer. Man, cut, go get the switch.
Like, that's crazy work. Nigga losing their damn mind. That's crazy.
Hey, you know what's so cold too? They was pushing the solar power. Oh, get solar. Your bill goes lower.
It don't.
Everybody gets solar. The people that did it, come to find out, in the long run, they wind up paying more. The bill wind up going up. Because what they did was they passed the solar billing plan, which was implemented by Cal Edison. So solar customers around Southern California, are seeing higher electricity bills compared to the previous net energy metering 2.0 program. So they're telling you, get the solar. It's going to lower your costs. Once you pay off the solar panels and this and that, your bill going to go down.
That shit is expensive.
Their bill is higher.
And this is why people, you have to question things. When anybody in life is forcing something on you to buy something or whatever, for the most part, if it doesn't look beneficial for you, like, why would you want to lower? Why would you act like you want to? You're trying too hard to help me. Like I tell people all the time, it's not my birthday. My antennas is automatically going to go up and start asking questions about why you want this solar to be lower, whatever this power stuff grid that you're trying to sell me. But what's the real reason behind that for you to make a profit? And 9 times out of 10, that's what it's going to be.
And it's crazy because somebody come knock on your door. Oh, you open the door, you dumbass nigga with a clipboard. Trying to sell you a solar panel. You buy 2 solar panels for 5, 6 niggas taking out loans to buy solar panels.
Facts.
Then you got to pay that off, and then you still got to pay. When I think of solar, I think, okay, the sun is on, the shit
facts.
Working.
Nah, facts.
That's it. I ain't thinking there ain't nothing facts. Else to it. Nah, you going to pay that Edison bill too on top of that, though.
Unless
that,
you got some solar thing that generates some energy from the sun to your house, like you got a, wherever them real solar panels that the sun hits and you can get energy from that. But other than that, it's like ain't really no point in investing in that type of stuff.
You're going to disappear. You put one of them on your house. One of them agents, Agent Smith, going to come knock on your door. Yeah. I was thinking right. Getting free energy. And what's crazy is, because I was reading one of those Reddits from a lady. She like, yeah, they just randomly, out of the blue, in the middle of a 112 degree day, said they had routine maintenance and shut all the power on the block off. So everybody AC off. Bro, my pops is in North Carolina. The company out there, bro, when they got hit with that storm, nigga, they was out of power for like 16 days.
Damn.
So if you didn't have a generator and you wasn't in one of the nice areas, they weren't in a rush to turn your power on. They was trying to get to those upscale neighborhoods first. So if you didn't have a generator, you didn't have nothing for 16 days. Cooked.
Yeah.
And it's nothing that's people can do, bro. Right now, Edison's, they used to have the website, the Cal Edison Verify. You instantly verify your identity, right? Make sure it's you because of the scammers. The whole system's down. So now you can see hundreds of people going without power for 10 days, 5 business days, 10 business days, because they got to do it manually, where you should just push a button, upload your passport or your ID, and it matches your address, and bam. Because, you know, when you move, you want to set up a date the same day that you're going to move in for your power to cut on. Mm-hmm. So people are moving in, power ain't cutting on. The verification process is backed up. People moving into their new spot, it ain't got power for 2 weeks, because the weekend don't count as a working business day.
And that's crazy. As
So if I was supposed to move in Thursday, and you tell me take 48 hours to maybe 5 days, I go the whole weekend with no power.
And you mm-hmm. And it's finna roll over to the, like you said, the weekdays. It's the weekend don't count, so scratch all that.
How y'all not open 24/7? Yeah, this is the only energy company we have available. How are you not open 24/7 around the clock? How? How are you closed on the weekend?
And then you call and it's like, it's so crazy with the automated voices.
Oh my God.
It That's used the worst to be shit. It used to be a little bit easier to just get to somebody, but now they've made it extremely hard. You got
the next step when you five, wait, six,
you gotta press 3, 2, and then you get to just another voice giving you general directions or frequently asked questions.
Then they want to double up and question, exactly, question you again about the same thing you push one for.
And what's
you,
bro, what's crazy is either that'll happen, you be on hold for 45 minutes, and the second somebody pick up, it hang up.
Mm.
Or they pick up, they listen to your story for 20 minutes, and they go, yeah, I don't have the authority to do anything. Let me get you to the department. And you gotta go back through the whole process again. Like, is this the supervisor? Oh, no, this is Booty Woop. Like, what the fuck? They were transferring me to billing. Oh, let me transfer you over. Got to go through all the steps again. So I think they're purposely doing that. Not only that, you don't get anybody American anymore. You're starting to notice they either Mexican in Mexico or in India or something. Like,
somebody you can't understand.
I'm like, bro, what language are you speaking? My nigga, are you in America? They like, no. What the fuck?
They outsource it.
How you controlling my power from another country, nigga?
They ain't really got to pay them nothing. Yeah. They pay them some crumbs and let them talk on the phones.
They got
the
niggas off Fiverr, pretty much. $5 an hour, $4 an hour off Fiverr. Hey, this nigga said, fucking fake ass resume online.
And a nigga on Fiverr to cut your power off, cuz this nigga in Pakistan, nigga.
Nigga be like, wait, a nigga asking where y'all located? Nigga can't even pull up. Nigga, you way across the country.
Bro, I would pay anything to have some type of technology where you can find out who these people are on the other end of this phone, like where they located. Because they be talking spicy. If you could just say a nigga address, like, hey, ain't this Carolyn from 1355 South Olive
nigga
Avenue?
Nigga be spooked.
Nigga, they be, how can I help you, sir? Yeah, because y'all be talking crazy.
And that too, they don't give a fuck. They go through so many calls a day. They like, look, man, I can't help you. It ain't nothing I could do. They be barely caring about keeping their job.
Yeah, we got to do something about this customer service. Trash. It wasn't like this in the 90s, bro. Early 2000s, 90s, I remember, you used to call a number, hit 0, you get right to an operator. About 2 minutes. They pick up, help you do whatever they got to do. Now it's you're talking to all robot. This customer
Them
service game.
Long gone,
yeah,
nigga.
Bro, this
they
customer
already got
service
these AIs.
Shit.
The AI is going to be answering the phones. It's already AI talking because they programmed it. But once these real AIs that can learn from conversations, it's over with.
Because I remember paying my mama electric bill. She used to give us the money. We used to have to walk to the pharmacy.
Facts.
You get a receipt from a human. So you could say, oh, nah, yeah, I paid my bill Thursday at 4:45 at this location. Who was on shift? Oh, that was Anna? Yeah, I paid her. Now, AI just be like, shit, I lost your payment. Go track it.
I low-key remember going into like Sprint when Sprint used to be around, you like with my granny, and she'd go in to pay the phone bill, stuff like that. So it's like it's really things have gotten to the point where it's no human interaction.
They gonna tell you that they gonna tell you they lost it, and they gonna tell you to pay it again. Matter of fact, nigga, we don't got no records of it. Like, if you ain't screenshotted or kept no records on your database on your end, you could.
No, that's facts.
You, hey, just pay us and we do an investigation. Yeah. Once they figure it out, oh, you did pay us, but don't worry, we'll credit all of this money to your account for future bills.
Matter
and we're gonna give you the bread back.
Matter of fact, pay me right now and we're gonna pay you back.
And like, then the claim, the investigation be 90 days, 120 days. Yeah, we'll get back to you 124 months.
Then you liable to miss the phone call.
Yeah.
Nigga, we called you back this day.
Hey, nigga, call ring once, hang up. Yeah. No, he didn't answer. Yeah, this, I don't know, man. I don't like where it's headed. I like dealing with a human. I'm the one that's screaming at the top of my voice, human. Like, I don't want to talk to a robot, bro, at all.
Even
Kaiser,
even
same thing. You got to go through 8 steps to get to a damn person. I'm just trying to make a doctor's appointment. Why I got to keep explaining to a robot how I'm a human? I'm on a computer, do a capture, prove you a human. What? Think I'm proving to a robot I'm a human?
And it'd be some dumb shit like, pick all the bikes. Like,
yeah, nigga, that's the worst thing.
Anybody can do that.
Match up the lights.
Yeah. Or you go in a restaurant, they talking about scan a QR code for a menu. Like, man, just give me the piece of paper.
Right. What if a nigga got an old ass Boost Mobile or some other phone where nigga can't scan? You asked out on the menu now.
You have to get a smartphone now. Yeah. Like you said, what if I just got a flip phone? What if I can't do none of that? I'm just asked out? Or what if I don't have a bank account? That's the thing that killed me. We don't take cash. What if I don't got a debit card or a credit card? What if I'm one of them old schools? I just like my money under the mattress because I don't trust the bank.
They looking at you like they live. You ain't got a smartphone walking around with a flip phone.
Even the cash thing. How you rejecting cash? I remember I tried to, I forgot where we went. I think it was Cookie Crumble or something. And I was trying to get the kids some stuff. They like, nah, we can't take no cash. Had me looking crazy. I'm like, man, I nigga done left all his cards at the house.
That's too much control for me. Because just think, if the power grid goes down and all your money's in the bank, you have no cash, now what? You gonna go to the store with an IOU? That's where the looting and the
everything else finna happen.
That's when the insanity finna kick off. Because I ain't got no way to pay nobody. You know what they're doing now? They're doing the retina scan. They're doing the facial recognition for payment. So if you go to like the new, what's that new arena down there?
SoFi?
No, not SoFi. Well, SoFi, I don't think SoFi doing it yet. The other one, I think it's the Clippers. And the comedy club down there. I went to the last Cat Williams show.
It's not Staples. It's called something else now.
Yeah, Short has said it last time he was on the show. Not crypto. It was the other one. So basically, I went to the Cat Williams show. They got where you buy water and snacks taped off. So you go in. You don't scan to pay for nothing. You walk in, pick up whatever item you want, and then you walk out. And when you leave, your debit card got charged. Because it's already linked when you got your ticket or whatever. So they let you in like maybe two or three at a time. It scans your face. It sees what you pick up, it scans that, and deducts your account. Yeah. I'm like, how the fuck?
It's crazy.
This is crazy.
But what's crazy that they doing that, they slowly implementing all this. That's because even when you think about self-checkout stores and stuff like that, or we go in like certain grocery stores where you just put the stuff in a basket and automatically charge through the... Every time you put the item
like
in the
Amazon
basket.
Fresh.
Amazon Fresh.
Exactly.
Whole Foods got it too.
A lot of stores like that where they're already charging you. Next thing you know, it ain't going to be no people that you can deal with in the stores. You can't go ask people for items out the back. It's finna get ugly out here. People don't see what's going on. And that's AI is finna be terrible.
They putting them don't hire human ads in other states now. I think I've seen some in Florida. Somebody took a picture of it down there in Miami Beach.
And now you think about it, when they do that, they just going to shut the doors on you. Try to walk out with some shit that you can't afford. They just going to close the sliding doors on you. You can't get out.
A nigga breaking them. Somebody going to put a basket through that.
they doing too much freaky shit, man. Like, I don't know if y'all seen, they cloned and brought back an extinct wolf.
Yeah.
The dire wolf has been extinct for 10,000 plus years. Scientists have just did some Jurassic Park type-ish, regenerated this wolf and brought it back.
I don't even think they was extinct. I think they probably got rid of them, had some just brewing somewhere, and started making carbon copies out of them. Like 10,000 years extinct. How you bring it back out of thin air?
Talking they about found ancient some DNA. I'm like,
they mixed the ancient DNA, and they're saying it's not an exact replica because they had to, I guess, mix it with a wolf that's here now. Then they used the ancient DNA from the dire wolf. But this is getting crazy because I heard they're not friendly at all. Like, even the people who are trying to train them and raise them, they damn near trying to kill their ass.
Who's trying to train a wolf? What wolf is finna be? Who's trying to train a wolf?
Somebody white.
They're like, bro, this ain't that type of wolf.
Yeah, I don't care if these niggas be doing these movies where you got the wolves dragging niggas on sleds and shit. Like, who the fuck trying to train a wolf, nigga? That's a wild ass wolf. They ain't in packs. They gonna shred something, nigga.
And people don't know. People don't know when they see wolves on movies and shit. Like, that shit is... It's big. It ain't
massive.
Right, it ain't no little husky. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Who trying to train that?
Nigga, wolves are massive. I don't know if you saw the video. It was like in Russia or something. It was a black wolf and the dog went to chase it. Nigga, this wolf, bro, I'm trying to think of what it was like the size of a refrigerator. Nigga, it was humongous. This was a wolf. Like, nigga, wolves are not just little foxes. Nigga, they're massive. And the dire wolf, I believe it's like twice the size of the wolves that's now. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, matter of fact, it's like an anime. They had the wolf next to the dude, but he was looking like a fucking werewolf.
Inuyasha.
Yeah, they're that big. Like, they grow to be that big type shit.
And they move in packs. Imagine 10, 15 of them up on you. This is crazy.
So, dire wolves were apex predators that roamed much of the Americas during the... I don't even know how to say that shit. I don't even know what that... I don't know what time frame that is. I don't even know how to pronounce that. Plastoic scene. Oh, y'all don't even know how to pronounce that, but whatever. Yeah, these niggas in Canada and Venezuela, unlike their smaller cousins, remember I told you they're humongous, dire wolves hunted large ice age mammals, including mammoths and horses. That's, so just think about how big you got to be to hunt a mammoth, nigga.
That's a lion. That's a lion size, damn near.
Like, come on, cuz. So just think, what movie did we see like this where they had an island full of extinct animals that they were bringing back to life? And then they got out of control and hit the city and Jurassic Park, right? So they playing Jurassic Park in real life. I'm seeing niggas in the comments, bring back a Velociraptor. Nigga, did you watch the movie?
that stand still, they ain't gonna see you, ain't gonna work. No, just tear you up. The stand still.
You ain't hiding in no cabinets, nigga, in real life.
That's facts. Hey, y'all seen that shit with the Jasmine Crockett?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, yeah. She's wildin', bro.
Black people, we ain't ready to form and all this shit. Jeez. Like, this
I told
what
you she was an op.
I know, but this is the type of shit we be talking about, people that's representing us. Like you came up there and everything you had to say is we not ready to farm. It's crazy work.
Said, I know
especially
y'all
the
not.
Way the food is going right now, you think people wouldn't want to farm? And it's just like, it's wild to me that I feel like you said, she's controlled opposition. People can say it's crazy, but to even put that out there, instead of even giving people the idea to start farming or doing anything in that sense, you just go, y'all not ready for that shit. Like,
and I'm seeing certain Mexicans be like, that's not all we do. Like, but I don't, right. not all we do is just farm.
Just farm.
Like, why you keep
like,
saying
just
that?
Just because we know how to grow crops don't mean we're the only ones that can do it.
Bro, be aware of the wolf in sheep's clothing. Just because they got the same skin as you, just because they twerk and listen to some rap music, don't mean they're for you. Those are actually ones that they put in place to lead you astray. Why would you get your hippity-hop ass up there talking about black people ain't ready to farm? What the fuck? We just supposed to rely on the system forever? Never get no type of survival skills. Because I don't know if y'all been paying attention to what's going on, but the same whistleblower who blew the whistle about the whole pandemic and shit blew another whistle saying, hey, it's about to be this big cyber shutdown. All these little attacks you've been seeing, they just been testing it out. Eventually, the whole system is going to go black.
And
you're going to be off the grid for real.
And let's be real. Originally, we grew our own crops anyway.
Yeah, we did.
I'm saying we grew our own crops. And from that sense, that was our essence in the first place. So to say that's not in us is crazy work to me. And even on top of that, even if she is making it as, oh, black people don't want to do those jobs, it's like, it's nothing wrong with doing those jobs. But at the same time, people have to survive. That's the only way most people won't actually jump out to do that. But if they had options to just go somewhere and grow some crops, majority of us would be doing it, in my opinion.
We used to have agriculture in school. Like, I don't think in our times we had it, but I know that was at a point in time people were able to learn those types of things in school. My granny used to have a garden when she was coming up in her backyard. But I guess as grocery stores expanded and things like that, that's when the produce kicked in more, where, you know, they spraying shit and doing all that to it. So they kind of took that option out for a lot of people. And now we are where we are right now. So I think people would definitely farm again if they could.
And like I said before, when we was kids, nigga, we had a backyard. Nigga grew corn, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Never thought about nothing. Grew some corn. But that shit is just in us anyway. And all the best fruit, we had a lemon tree. On the set, we had a lemon tree. Lemon tree was fire. Nigga ate the lemons right, straight like off the tree, made the best lemonade with it. Like, so to say we wouldn't want that, especially people that's practicing good health and stuff like that, I'd rather grow my own shit than allow these people to be spraying and injecting my fruit and vegetables.
I don't know if people know, but when you go to the store and you pick up your produce, look at them numbers. If it's four numbers, it's not good. Don't eat it. It got to be five numbers, and a lot of it got to start with a nine. So when you pick up your fruit, look for that. When you look on them numbers, if it say start with a four and it's just four numbers, you're cooked. You got to be a nine, because that means it's. I mean, even then we could be taking a risk, but that is still better for you and more organic.
Yeah, that made me think about how in California we don't really have land. We don't have yard space. Mm-hmm. Like, even if you have a nice big house, it's on top of the next door neighbor house. Your fence line, you might got a couple inches on the side of your house. Like, people really literally be arguing over inches. This is my couple of inches, move your fence.
Your
like
tree growing over my fence. Over
this my is my half of the tree. Yeah. So that made me think, like, damn, maybe they putting all these houses on top of each other to prevent you from growing gardens and growing your own food. Like, nigga, we're not even giving you enough land to grow nothing.
I think so. I believe it. And then in California, there's so many rules and regulations on what you can do in your backyard anyway when it comes to growing certain grass. If you grow grass, you got to have a certain type of sprinklers or a certain amount of sprinklers. It's a lot of things you can do with plants and things like that as well. So it's controlled for that reason.
Yeah, that's crazy work.
It's getting real out here. Is all I'm saying is get your survivor skills up. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. Because just imagine your power's out, no electricity, no heat, no nothing. Nigga, I remember when I was a kid, electricity went out. I ain't even know moms didn't pay the bill. We just thought the power was out on the block.
Nah, sometimes we had blackouts.
Hey, you know, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, we did
have blackouts. But even
let me take that back.
Even then, we didn't panic when we had blackouts. Moms probably lit some candles and
we was good.
Yeah, they used to do that. So we didn't have a few. Or if our power went out, we just dealt with stuff. We just looked at it like it is what it is until it's fixed type stuff. So.
We used to have blackouts all the time back in the day. I remember the whole block and everybody used to come outside. Nigga, your power off?
Yeah.
Then we turn into a block party, nigga. We outside chilling. Yeah. Like, what the fuck going on? Like, fuck, it is what it is. Motherfuckers outside start playing dominoes and spades in the dark, right. All type of shit.
Kids out playing tag. Yeah.
Right, we out there playing midnight football league.
Have fun.
It low-key was a party, cuz, because moms used to let you go out hella late.
Yeah.
That shit used to be dope, though. But we got to get into the topic of the week, man. Carmelo Anthony. Everybody,
it's crazy. At first, I thought they was talking about Melo. I'm like, what the fuck, Melo did? Melo power tripping over something.
He's gonna go in the Hall of Fame too.
Carmelo Anthony, yeah, I'm thinking he did something crazy.
Okay, so Carmelo Anthony, a 17-year-old high schooler, has been charged with murder for the stabbing of another 17-year-old high schooler, Austin Metcalf. Now, before we get into this. People are making this a race thing, right? Online. So Carmelo Anthony's black. Austin Metcalf is white. Carmelo Anthony, a black student, stabbed Austin Metcalf in the heart during the altercation. So majority of the white population that I see online don't care about the facts. Only thing they care about, this black kid stabbed this white kid. He needs the death penalty, blah, blah, blah. He's guilty. They don't care about the facts or nothing. Over here, we're going to break down the facts. We're not going to play the race line. We're just going to go straight down the facts. And then we can get into the whole racial thing because it's wild ironic how the same people who swear to God, they don't see color. We don't see color. Why does everything have to be race? Stop playing the race card. They're the ones online playing the race card. So long story short, Carmelo Anthony goes to a track meet. They got these tents. You know, in the stands, they got the easy ups. Austin Metcalf has a twin. They're football stars at the school, whatever the case. They come. Their story is he's under the wrong tent. They tell him to move. They have some words. Both of the brothers, they're built. You know, they're pretty. They're like twice his size. Like I said, they're football stars. So he tells him he's not moving. They tell him, hey, move or I'm going to physically move you, remove you. He says, try it and see what happens. Unbeknownst to them, he has a knife in his backpack. So they go to physically move him. They get into a tussle. He pulls the knife out the bag, stabs one of the brothers to get him off him. Bam. Police come. He threw the knife in the thing. He admitted to doing it when the police got there, blah, blah, blah. Now, there's a lot of breakdowns and key details of what's going on in this conflict. First of all, we can get into the Texas legal right to self-defense because it's different than other states. Because a lot of people are in other states saying, oh, this is murder, this is murder. Well, technically, if you look at the state laws, he might get off on self-defense. And what was a key detail to me, because I want to get y'all input on what you think about just what happened first before we get into the pictures they're putting online and, you know, the narratives they're starting to spin. It's funny that George Zimmerman, Daniel Penny, Kyle Rittenhouse, all deemed as heroes by the same exact people that's crucifying Carmelo Anthony right now. The same exact people called George Zimmerman a hero for following a teenager in his neighborhood when the police told him to stop following him and ended up gunning down Trayvon Martin. Daniel Penny choked out an unarmed, mentally deranged, mentally unstable person on a train until he died, and people called him a hero. Kyle Rittenhouse took an AR-16 from his parents' home, crossed state lines to go get into a conflict and unalive like three people. Given they were pedos, they were good as, he actually did a good deed because they were pedophiles. But nevertheless,
He took a gun across state lines as a teen to go use it. Let's just be real. That's what it was. He got to use it. He just hit the right people. These people were deemed as heroes. So what is the difference in this case? Because we know for a fact, if the roles were reversed and two menacing black football stars walked up on some little white kid and tried to physically remove him, and a white kid would have stabbed one, everybody would have been calling him damn near a hero. Oh, they were, you know, they football stars and his life was in danger and blah, blah, blah. So what do y'all think about this, man?
We know the difference is he's black. Go ahead, Callie, I'm going to let you cook.
I was seeing reports as well that they actually had fought at a party a week before. If that is true, it doesn't look good for bro for me. And, you know, I'm more of like, I could see the reason as to why you did what you did, but I don't think it looks good for him. One, he already admitted that he did it. Two, he's black. He's in Texas, which we know they don't give too many passes, even when I understand what you're saying about the self-defense thing. For me, if you already caught a fade with bro and you lost or whatever the case is, because remember, they're from two different schools. So it looks like you knew that he was going to be there. And then again, I ran track all of high school. You got the easy ups, like you said. We're pretty separated when it comes to teams. So if you were, had to fight a week later, you're at a track meet, you know he's going to be there, you're in the opposing team's tent causing a ruckus, or you talking to people, whatever the case is, it looks like you put yourself in a position where if they, you knew they were probably going to say something, so you were able to use the weapon to do what you want to do for get back. If what I've read is true, because there was a space with some people in there with a dude by the name of Lou Fax on Twitter who was talking about it, and supposedly they're known to be, they've been beefing. So it, to me, looks like it's a case of, I planned for some get back and I got it. That's why when he got caught, he admitted it. Like, yeah, I did it. Fuck that.
He admitted
it.
I would think he admitted it because he probably felt like he didn't do nothing wrong. And I know the first thing people are going to say, well, why did he need a weapon at a track meet? If for what you're saying is true, I need some type of protection. If he would have had a gun, it would have blew a fuse. If he had a knife or whatever the case is. At the end of the day, I don't care about the week before, them squabbling, whatever it is. If I know I'm trying to do something better as far as running track or at a track meet and I have issues, I'm just not letting these niggas mark me out and not do what I need to be doing. So if he was in the wrong tent, who know? Who's to say, do they actually have proof of him being in the wrong tent? Because if he was or wasn't, they still could have chose to go to another tent. Okay. I'm sure that wasn't the, what you
got. No, go ahead.
I'm sure that wasn't the only tent. And that sounds like, to me, two people that didn't like somebody or didn't like each other, however it went, and thought they was going to mark him out about something. And like you said, you came and tell me, I'm going to move you out of a tent. And if you didn't know, get up out of here. And if you don't get up out of here, I'm going to move you up out of here. They tried to move him up out of here, and he got busy like he was supposed to do. Regardless of how it happened, if it was just a fight, then people wouldn't be this livid about it. But like you just said, let this been two black males come in there. That's all they would have said. It's the same thing they do. They're aggressively this, they're that. Like other races can't be aggressive. And even being a smaller person, he probably looked at it, I can't get what they programmed to. First, if I lost a head up with one, then you want me to fight both of them now?
Okay, so where did the fight story come from? Because I'm only dealing with the facts of what happened, not no hearsay. Maybe they got a squabble, maybe they didn't. I just want to stick to the facts of what happened. Now, the full police report was actually released. So before the police report was released, it was a lot of stories going on about what might have happened or what didn't happen. So the police report, it says, dispatch was called out about a stabbing, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so the suspect was reported as black male wearing a gray hoodie, blue sweatpants. I immediately left my office, ran across the parking lot. I'm trying to get to where they said exactly what happened. Okay, they entered the stadium. Once arrived onto the north side bleachers, an adult male who was on the track pointed out the suspect. I was not able to identify that witness, blah, blah, blah. The suspect was on point. Okay, let me get to the next page. It's like seven pages. Let me get to the next page. Because people are saying, according to the police report, it's pretty much deemed as self-defense. He says, okay, here it is. When I arrived on the scene, I know. I just kind of wanted to get y'all backstory. I thought y'all was already up on it. I should have asked. So it says, while I was walking towards the visitor's bleachers, I was approached by a witness who identified himself as. They blanked it out. He began telling me what happened, and I asked him where the stabbing occurred. So they blanked out the names of the witnesses. So this is an eyewitness report of somebody who was there.
The witness is probably minors.
Exactly. When a witness stated the stabbing occurred and gave him the crime scene tape to start securing the crime scene, I then had, they blanked out his name, move the walkway under the visitor's bleachers, he ran further to speak with me. The following is a summary of my contact with, they blanked his name out, advised while he was sitting at the Memorial High School pop-up tent with his teammate. Okay, so here's where it looks like they start to say what happened. Austin and the suspect, who was later identified as Carmelo Anthony. Anthony was from Centennial High School and was sitting under the Memorial High School tent. Austin had told Anthony that he needed to move from out their team's tent. And Anthony grabbed his bag, opened it, and reached inside and proceeded to tell Austin, touch me and see what happens. No one really thought Anthony really had a weapon in his bag. And Austin proceeded to touch Anthony. And then Anthony told Austin to punch him and see what happens. A short time later, Austin grabbed Anthony to tell him to move, and Anthony pulled out what blank recalled as a black knife and stabbed Austin once in the chest and then ran away. Austin began grabbing his chest, telling everyone to get help. Blank advised he did not know Anthony's name, but stated another Memorial track member, blank, was friends with Anthony, and he could identify Anthony. Blank described Anthony as a black male, blah, blah, blah. So, basically,
to Kali's point, he was right.
These people, these two twin brothers, approached him. So this is where it gets into the self-defense. But regardless of what tent he was under, they approached him aggressively, and they physically tried to remove him. So if you look up Texas self-defense laws, including the Castle Doctrine, it allows individuals to use force, including deadly force, to protect themselves or others from imminent harm, provided the force used is reasonable and proportionable to the perceived threat. Now, that's where it's going to get iffy if this is murder or this is self-defense. Is his life in imminent danger? And was that reasonable, proportional to the perceived threat? They're going to have to decide, was the threat perceived to be life-threatening or not? But to him, it could be.
But to Callie's point, you're in the wrong tent. You're in here. You brought a weapon to a track meet. Now, in the sense, like you had intentions, they're going to find motive of what you was in the tent for. Intentions was to maybe do something. You might have knew that was their tent. You probably ran in there, seen them come up out of there, and went up in there and waited for them, knew when they was going to press you about something. So depending how it goes in court, it can go either way, but it's going to be dependent on what type of lawyer he has and how they're going to paint that picture. Yep. But the narratives can get pushed by the media, and it can go left for him.
One thing that creates nuance, though, to what I did say about him being over there was that in the police report you just read, there was another person in the Memorial School tent that said they were able to identify him, and that was supposedly Carmelo's friend. So if that's the case, then that would give him a motive for being over there. As in, like, I wasn't over here
by myself, so I knew it was going to be two of them.
No, I wasn't over here to hurt them. I was over here because my friend is from the school.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Come on. We all been to high school games, football, track. You move around the bleachers, bro. Everybody knows everybody. You might have known somebody from the other school. You go to the opposing team side. It might be some girls over there you never seen from another school. This is high school, bro.
We run track. No, and that's a key point because that could be there. Yeah, I was chilling in the tent. So, and then if that, y'all didn't press both of them, you only pressed him about it. The other dude is in the tent. It's probably y'all teammate, but it's probably his friend. Because you grow up, if you play in sports in a sense, you're going to know the opposing players, at least from some type of way, if you're growing up in track. You're 17, from ninth grade to maybe 12th grade, you're going to know the players on opposite teams.
So this is another witness. They said, they asked him what happened. He stated they were all sitting on the bleachers under a Memorial High School tent, when another male who he did not know walked over and sat under the tent. Blank then said Austin, the victim, told the male that since he did not go to Memorial, he had to leave the tent. Austin and the male went back and forth, and Austin stood up, pushed the male to get him out of the tent. So Austin got physical with Carmelo. He initiated the violence first. Austin and the male went back and forth, then Austin stood up, pushed the male to get him out the tent, blah, blah, blah. He said during the time of the argument, the male was reaching around in the bag that he had. It was at this time the male took the knife, stabbed Austin. This is all I remember.
He should beat it then.
So again, they approached him, told him to get out the tent. They're students. They don't have the authority to tell anybody to go anywhere. So if dude was under another team's tent and they felt he didn't have the right to be there, they were supposed to go get the staff and let the staff know, hey, this dude's under the tent, blah, blah, blah. Let the staff handle it. And now if the staff choose to remove him or not, they have the authority to do so. They chose to take the authority in their own hands and get physical with somebody else. And like I always say, once you get physical with somebody else, you don't get to dictate their reaction. Because he sees two of y'all. This is in Texas. I'm going to look up the demographic of the high school. I'm assuming where they were at was majority white at the school. So why he had the knife in the bag, I don't really think that serves no relevance because you're in Texas where everybody carries guns.
Yeah.
Everybody carries weapons to protect themselves. Everybody believes in the Second Amendment. Everybody, the right to bear arms. Everybody believes in all of that.
It does. What you're saying is right, but also it's like, if you brought a gun on campus, like a lot of these things, or weed on campus, or a knife on campus, it becomes something different because you're on school grounds. So I believe that's more so in the realm of a federal crime. I don't know how it is in Texas, but I know in California, you were to sell weed on school grounds, that's worse than just selling it outside. If you were to bring a gun on school grounds, that's worse than just having a gun outside of school grounds.
So, no, for sure, but that so doesn't knife, show it, intent it, it, of it doing it.
Now, he never had the motive. Yeah.
It doesn't, but I'm saying that it makes it murky because you had to conceal that weapon to bring it in. So it does, to a certain degree, give a back and forth where it's like, okay, well, why would you bring a weapon to a track meet? It doesn't really, okay. That part doesn't make sense.
Because let me say this.
I wish they would have just got down and then, because, you know,
hold on,
again,
hold on. Let me get this key point. To your point about the knife, in Texas, it's legal to carry knives.
Okay, so then.
It's legal to carry a knife as long as the blade is less than 5.5 inches. As long as it's 5.5 inches or less, you in Texas, it is legal to own and carry virtually any type of knife, regardless of the size, with the exception of location-restricted knives. So a knife that is larger than 5.5 inches is considered location-restricted.
So then he might beat it.
In Texas, students under 18, they can't carry that unless it's, you know, smaller than 5.5.
He should, based off of all that, what you just read, he should beat it. To me. Unless they just want to stretch him. You know, a lot of us nigga be having cases beat and still get stretched. But he should, based off the fact that they came over there, tried to punk him, tried to punk the wrong day. And well, then you got the right one because he handled his candle. So at the end of the day, they tried to bully him, was bigger than him. It's pretty sure that they probably was some popular kids and felt like this how they can do people, especially, and I ain't got to even make it about race. It just felt like he was less in fear. And if it goes to true to what you said, if they already had issues with this boy, then that's just even more of a reason for him to be carrying it himself.
This is where the narrative painting starts, though, right? Like, this is why you're seeing the certain pictures released of their Instagrams and,
you
know,
what type of person he is.
They're trying to build that case at that point because that's what's really, at the end of the day, that's how most cases get, you know, solved. It's not necessarily about evidence. It's about how can we make these people look. So that at this point, that's why they're releasing certain photos of Carmelo and then they're not released because there's pictures of the white dude with guns too, hunting.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
They're the same person. And, you know, in 2020.
Everybody got guns.
Pop culture is like everybody talks and walks and acts the same way. It's just people perceive it differently because somebody's black and somebody's white. So at this point, it's going to be about how can they paint Carmelo on the case or on a trial. You know, that's going to come down to if he gets off or not. Because what you're saying, the evidence is there for him to get off.
But this is what they're trying to paint Carmelo as this thug. So they took a picture of him holding, which it looks like some type of rifle, AR-15, AR-16, or some type of AK-47 or something like that. I say AR-16. I don't know why I always say that. They cropped out his white friends who were in the photo.
Yeah.
And only left his black friend to make it look like it was two black thugs holding guns.
Crazy.
Then on the flip side, the kid who lost his life, who actually went to go bully him to get him out of the tent, has the exact same photo online holding a similar weapon with his family and his friends. So they're not making that go viral to show him as a thug. They're using his gun photo to show, hey, he comes from a good home. They practice, you know, firearm safety, blah, blah, blah.
Hunting.
But then on the flip side, he's a thug with the gun. So and they even cropped out his white friends.
Okay, so do we as a people change the narrative? Do we start making that go viral? You know what I'm saying? We make all our people go viral when we under the fire.
People are definitely on Twitter and I think on a lot of social media platforms showing and poking holes in Austin Metcalf and like who he is as a person. So I think it's there. I just think the overall perception of what we are as a people is kind of overshadowing that.
The only thing, the good thing about Texas, I think that's not going to really hold too much weight because a lot of them take their kids, teach them how to shoot guns when they're young. They hunt. They do a lot of different things out in Texas when it comes to that. And I'm pretty sure any judge, jury, or whoever's in there own guns in their house. 9 times out of 10, majority of them are going to be the same way and have guns and might say, I would do the same thing. They'd be ready to kill you for stepping on their lawn. So,
here goes a key detail that I believe is going to help him get off. So if you got your headphones, you'll be able to hear Austin Metcalf's own father says he feels bad for his son's killer. He says he does not want people to make this a race thing. So he put out a statement. Well, I'm going to play that right now.
There. It's very unfortunate that this other child decided to make a bad choice that's going to affect him for the rest of his life. I have compassion for every human being. This is not, I want to make this very clear. This is not a race issue. This is not a black and white issue. I don't want someone stepping up on a soapbox trying to politicize this. I don't appreciate some of the remarks I've seen online that people say there was this fight and they don't know. They weren't there.
So that's his father, the victim's father,
sound like a stand-up nigga.
Telling you, don't make this a race thing because what I'm thinking is he saw the details of the case and he's looking at the facts going, damn, my son went over there. Regardless of the situation, my son was the aggressor. And he's from Texas. They believe in stand your ground and self-defense because I damn sure believe if his son was on the receiving end of the bullying and he had done something similar, the father would have been probably proud of the way his son reacted. Now, everybody's making this an issue simply because he's black and the victim is white. That's it. That's all. Point blank, period. I'm not sugarcoating it. They're making it a thing because he's black and the victim happens to be white. When the victim is black, the person who's white, they champion them. Look at Daniel Penny. Look at Zimmerman. Like, we can go down the list. Look how many police officers unalive and kill unarmed black people every day. And people say, oh, man, you know, you don't know their job, the stress of their job. We don't know what happened before the camera cut on and this and that. It's always a fucking excuse, and they always move the goalposts. So given that, I'm going to say, bro should get off on self-defense, period, point blank. Just given the fact that they were the aggressors, they got physical with them, you can't tell somebody how to defend themselves. Like, I really, like, you can't. And when does the age play into factor with this? Because they tell you your brain ain't fully developed till you're 25. Bro is 17. So at what point did he make an irrational decision with an underdeveloped brain? Maybe at 25, he reacts a little differently. But at 17, his brain isn't fully developed to even make the right choice if that was the wrong choice. Does that not play a factor now?
I mean, I think you could also, you know, put some accountability on a school, right? Like, if you don't want weapons, you have to take the precautions to not have that in there as well. Like, but again, if it's legal to have that, then why would they be searching for it anyway? So I hope he can get off. I wish that, you know, somebody's life wouldn't have been lost only because I'm a believer in a, you know, good old fashioned squabble, and it is what it is. But, you know, things happen and things escalate and they are where they are now. But and that's unfortunate because that's to me harder to beat than we just squabbled and then, you know, it is what it is, an altercation. It's like you killed somebody. So it's gonna be looked at differently and more intensely than if it was just that.
Yeah, even especially after hearing what the father just said, respect to that father, man, and forget what I just said about making a white boy go viral. The father basically, it's hard. It's an unfortunate situation on both ends. Like he said, fuck the race stuff. And I just think he knows how he raised his sons to be. So I think he's just accepting the fact that his sons might have been overly aggressive and they made the wrong choices too. So at the end of the day, he's accepting that as a man is basically like leave it up to the court to leave it up to what's going on. But it's unfortunate that this boy, whatever type of career, I don't know how good they was in sports and stuff like that, that two lives possibly could be ended. One from the white boy and one if the boy gets juvenile life. Nobody wins in a situation. But like I said, respect to that father for just even basically telling everybody to stay up out of it and just leave it at that, because he's having compassion for the black kid as a white man. So I think we should just leave it there and let this play out. At the end of the day, ultimately, he should get self-defense. There's no reason not to. When people came and approached you and aggressively threatened you, that you can get, I don't know how it is in Texas, but out here, they give you terrorist threats and all type of stuff. You go just words. So
they actually physically pushed him and assaulted him. I mean, it is what it is. You can go to jail for spitting on somebody is considered assault. And the only reason this has to be judged straight down the middle with the facts, because like I said, you just compare case after case after case. I know it's different states, different jurisdictions, but the outcome is the same. Somebody lost their life and somebody was let off. In a lot of these cases, they were in the wrong and still got let off. They told Zimmerman, stop following Trayvon. He kept following them.
Do you think white people riot if he gets let off?
No, they don't riot. But what I do think, I think what I think is they're going to let him off in hopes that that happens. Because if you look on Twitter, they've been trying to incite race riots for the longest. Well, they got spam accounts. They have ghost accounts where all they're posting are black attacks on white people. So they're causing this uproar to make it seem like blacks are just targeting white people.
It could be stuff
people.
20 years.
Well, you
ago
know the family. You know Carmelo Anthony's family hasn't been able to leave the house in days, right? They're receiving like pictures of black men or black boys with gunshots to the head, knives in their head. So it's ugly over there for them. And that's also what you just said about them releasing him in hopes that happened. You know, that's still Texas. That's still the South where racism is rampant. I mean, it's rampant everywhere, but really in them Southern states, it's ugly. So if he does get released and let off, I hope he can, you know, remain safe.
His family better just strap up and stay strapped. But like I said, just anybody that's watching this, go on Twitter. They're trying to incite race riots. I'm telling you right now, they're showing as young as toddlers fighting on a playground, making it seem like black toddlers are targeting white toddlers, to 80-year-old men that's having fights or 80-year-old women. There literally are accounts of just black attacks on whites. They're not showing the white attacks on blacks, though. And I'm going to go as far as to say, as how could you be mad at any of that when a lot of this is learned behavior from them? Blacks naturally are not violent people. Blacks naturally are accepting people, overly friendly, sometimes too friendly. If you look at the history, blacks have always been accepting. Whether you want to go to the Moors who civilized Europe, show them how to bathe, whether you want to show the Africans who came in, share the resources, whether you want to go to the Indians, the real Indians who showed them how to survive and in return gave them smallpox, allegedly. I got to say allegedly because it's YouTube, but we all know the facts. Tuskegee experiment.
Whether you want to go to today, where we allow everybody in the culture just come to the barbecue.
No, for sure. But I mean like how we're met in return. Like y'all forgot about slavery, using our kids for gator bait. And they're like, oh, this is what they're teaching their children to hate white people.
You forgot white people used to bring their kids to public lynchings? There's photos right now. You can go on Google right now and see little white kids smiling at a dead hanging black man's body. The whole town used to come out to watch it.
But a lot of them play the...
So this is learned behavior. We weren't violent like that, bro. This is learned behavior. Hurt people hurt people. We've been getting hurt for over 500 years, and I'm not even playing the victim card because I'm not a victim. But this is just a fact. You've hurt people for over 500 years. That's what they started to learn. You know, any kids who grew up abused, what they do? Go to school and start abusing. Them usually be the bullies. They go home and get their ass whooped. So they go to school and take it out on other people. So before y'all start trying to say, like, this is their culture. No, this is your culture that you taught this culture.
It don't even matter at the end of the day, like, about some stuff. It's like, as a human being yourself, you're going to, at some point, you can't put a cat in the corner and not expect it to defend itself. At the end of the day, it don't matter if we white, black, orange, yellow, purple. Because at the end of the day, he did what he felt he should have did. And you never know how people act out of fear. And you have two people bullying him. He made me forget my whole train of thought where I was going.
That was just to the troll accounts. This isn't to all white people.
But to go back to that,
all
to,
white
to
people
go
don't
back
feel
to
that
what
way.
You're saying to the people that are still racist and promote those things, like a lot of that stuff, we just got to even ignore. If they're not making no noise outside in the streets, they just got to stop even entertaining these people. And just stay vigilant and stay on point to where you able to defend yourself or take care of yourself as a man, as a woman, as anybody. You should have something where you can never be just helpless. Because a lot of these people that do stuff like that, like you said, they're kind of put a narrative that they do of us. They've been doing this, movies and everything else on the news. They make us look like we're these animals or whatever they want to call it. But this is just projections of what they are. 9 times out of 10, that's what you get from most people. People that project so much on you, they're projecting who they are inside of themselves. It's never always about you. It's more about them. So they're already teaching their kids these things. We've had stories of people that never even met black people in their lifetime get on the internet and spew out how much they hate black people from what they see on the news, from what they see on TV, because we're projected as something else. And even thinking we just start getting superheroes, nigga. You know what I mean? We wasn't getting all that, even though a lot of these original superheroes was black, but they changed it and presented it as something else. But go ahead, Kali.
Nah, I was just gonna say I'm just gonna be following this case closely, you know, because it's interesting to see like what's gonna happen and how it's gonna end up. So again, like you said, nobody wins. In this situation, and you know, whatever happens will happen. But I wish again niggas would have just squabbled and got on with their day.
Like I said, man, just stick to the facts. To the people that's making this a race thing, you guys are the problem. On both sides of the spectrum, because the only thing that matters is the facts of what happened. Because I guarantee you, if this was white on white or black on black, it wouldn't be this type of outrage. It would have been outrage from the families involved, but it wouldn't have been a clash of cultures. Because right now, that's all it is. It's white people feeling like, damn, we lost one. Fuck them niggas. That's exactly what it is. And it's a lot of black people that's like, yes, we finally got one. Because of how they throw George Floyd in black people's faces. That's what I'm seeing online. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, what about Floyd? And we going to keep making fun of him since y'all want to champion him. So it's really the racist that's really the buffering issue between the cultures. Because you got people over here who are starting to feel attacked from people here. And in return, they like, fuck that. I'm going to start attacking y'all back. And then the people over here that's like, whoa, I'm not attacking y'all. Why are you attacking my people? Now they're offended and they start attacking back. So now you just got the clash of the cultures. Really, the people in between that's spewing the hate and the division, they need to be washed out on both sides. Because let's just stick to the facts. They have laws in place. Whatever happened, happened. Him admitting guilt doesn't necessarily mean he committed murder. To get off on self-defense, you have to say you did it. You have to say you did it. You can't say, I didn't do it. I wasn't there, but I did it in self-defense. No, You have to say, that was me. I stood my ground. So let's keep following the facts of the case and see how it turns out,
and,
man.
And I hope we all learn something from this. This is 2025, man. Trying to be a bully by physical force is bad for your health for most people. You keep thinking you won't be out here punking niggas because you bigger than somebody. These niggas got big guns and they got weapons on them. A lot of people ain't fighting no more. Them days is predominantly over with. You can hope you can get you a good fade, but 9 times out of 10, don't be surprised when niggas be ready to unalive something.
Just keep your hands to yourself, man. That's just the best way. Greet everybody with respect. The same respect you want in return. Common courtesy. You are not the law. Stop trying to enforce your own made-up laws. You're a citizen like everybody else. Behave like one. Act like one. Each one teach one. Each one reach one, man. This was a good one today. We back. We had to knock off the ring rust. you feel me? Tell a friend to tell a friend. Hit a like button. Hit a subscribe. Hit a share button. Leave us feedback in the comments, too. Let us know what y'all want us to talk about, because we here for y'all. So, if our way, man, wake the sheep that sleep. Bang, bang, bang.
handouts, I did it from the ground up. In the streets, thugging hardest where they found us. Got a problem, nigga, watch my troopers mount up. My bitches bang too, and you a lame though. You niggas ain't outside, yeah, we came through. You want your lights up, we put you on the shack.